Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
The Lord be with you. Good morning, everyone. Last weekend, I was at St. Joseph Parish in Jasper, Indiana, for a vocations weekend, and I heard that several priests filled in for me here. I heard it went well because the homily were short. Is that true? You better not say yes to that, all right? Now, I'll try to make up for that this weekend myself. This weekend, we're going to hear the gospel reading, which is actually itself pretty short. The gospel reading, Jesus tells his disciples the way that people will be able to determine whether or not they're Christian. Listen closely to it. It's both easier and much more difficult than I think we make out to be. For the times where we have failed to love the Lord as his disciples, let us call to mind our sins. The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you should also love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Does anyone know that you're Catholic? A little while ago, maybe a year or two ago, I was driving down Diamond Avenue from over here on the west side of town toward the east side of town. Sorry. And as I'm going down Diamond Avenue, there's some little vehicle behind me, like one of those small flower delivery vans, you know, the kind of odd-shaped black vehicle of some kind. Anyways, and he kept trying to get around my car. I drive a Prius, and so I don't drive terribly fast because, well, why, right? And he couldn't get around me. Well, eventually he sped past me, and we met each other at a stoplight, side by side. This guy looks over at me in my car, and I've got a collar on. I'm dressed as a priest that day, right? He looks over at me, and he hung his head down low. True story. And then he looks over at me and he puts his hand up like he's blessing me. I took that as he wants me to bless him. And so I said, "Yeah, I absolve you. Okay, you're good." Right? He did the sign of the cross and kept driving. Right? You wouldn't believe how many times on the road I would look over, or someone would look over at me, and they'd honk or gesture, or they'd have a rosary around their mirror. Sometimes when I see a rosary and I get eye contact at a stoplight or something, I'll actually look over and I'll do this to them. I'll bless them, right? And then sometimes they just like, "What is he doing?" You know? I'm like, "Ah, good luck charm. I understand." But if they make the sign of the cross, I know that they know, right? They're Catholic. Does anyone know that you are? The gospel reading this weekend, Jesus says, "This is how they will know that you are my disciples. If you go to church, donate money, wear a Catholic necklace, this is how they will know you are my disciples. If you have love for one another." That's hard, isn't it? I was talking to some young people this week about that very thing, and I said, "Has anyone ever seen you do something good and therefore inferred that you were a Christian because of it?" And the answer was no, basically. Because the world says be a nice person, be a good person, hold the door open for someone when they're walking when they got their hands full. If someone says something mean to you, walk away if you can, right? Donate to charity. Say thank you when someone gives you a gift. I mean, those are things, they're loving things. But they're not exclusively Christian. Not for us. Not today. In fact, I mean, On Friday, I was asked to give the invocation at the Ivy Tech commencement at the Ford Center. And I went there and I wore my black cassock because I thought, well, everybody else is going to be in robes. I'll just go ahead and put mine on, right? When I got there, they're vesting, or they're putting all of us like that are on stage, the VIPs, board trustees, whatever. They're giving us all these black robes like the graduates so that we all match on the stage. And the lady gets to me and she looks at me and she goes, you brought your own, huh? I said, Catholic priest, guilty, right? They knew, right? They knew because of a sign. How else are they going to know? Well, in the first reading, Paul and Barnabas have traveled and they started talking to people in a city. And while they're proclaiming the good news, a significant number of disciples are made, it says in the reading. In fact, like in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, all you hear about is disciples suffering and disciples making Christians. That's it. They travel to here, they travel to there, they suffer persecution because of this reason, they get out of jail, they go back into jail, they get out of jail again, and they add this many people and that many people, and 4,000 people are added to the Lord that day. That's all we hear about. But what did they say back then? What convinced a significant number of disciples in Acts chapter 14 to be added to the Lord that day? Have you ever tried to street preach? Father Jim Caresso, who often subs here for us, God bless that guy. He's like the nicest priest in the world. Father Sadaka is also up there too. You guys remember Father Sadaka? He was the nicest priest. I look like a total jerk around those guys. Father Jim Caresso sent me an email the other day and he said, we might be starting some street preaching in downtown Evansville soon. He said, pray for me. I can't even stand that long, let alone preach on the street corner. He might do it though. He might do it. What is he going to say? What's going to make someone stop downtown on their way to lunch, on their break, or while shopping? What's going to make a homeless person who's sleeping on a bench get up and listen? And then what's going to make them actually go to church and convert, let alone join an RCIA program for months? What would it take? I've been thinking about that question this week. What is it that the early Christians said that made everyone else want to join their church? I mean, today, look around. Who joins Catholic churches today? In large part, those who want to get married to a Catholic, right? Or those who are parents of Catholic kids and want to all go to church together. Very seldomly is it the random person who heard someone preaching about Jesus or Googled Eucharistic miracles and said, I want to join. It's rare. Not impossible, but it's rare today. So what were they saying back then? I wonder if we just look at the context of what the early world was like, the Roman Empire, I wonder if they weren't preaching something that's maybe something we should be preaching today. Back then, slavery was common. In fact, if you were in a big debt, you could sell your children off as slaves so you could get out of debt. Sometimes that became the norm. You'd sell your oldest or your youngest. No worries, kids, you're fine here today. So slavery was common. In fact, if you were part of a different class, like in the Roman Empire, if you were a conquered people, sometimes they would bring you back into the city of Rome so that you could do their work, their hard work, their dirty work. And if you were labeled as someone that was not one of them, you became an object, totally, like you had no value. That's hard for us to imagine today. But imagine someone walking up, someone like Paul, who was Saul, who was a very respected and influential person, an educated man who had a lot of connections and power, walking into a town square and saying, hey, everybody, you are made in the image of a man named Jesus Christ. He died and rose again. And if you want to follow him, if you can believe that, you will also be free of everything too. Imagine a slave hearing that message. Who wouldn't want to convert? I think that today we would look at slavery and say across the board, everybody says, oh yeah, it's wrong. Like, why? Because it's wrong, right? Well, of course it's wrong. It's wrong because we believe the same thing that was believed 2,000 years ago that they might have been preaching on the streets. Every person has inherent dignity and worth. And yet when we preach that message today, especially like right now in the last few weeks, every human being, regardless of their age, whether they're located in the womb or outside of it, they have worth. Persecution comes. That's a message you need to preach. And this year, there might be some progress there. So keep praying for that and keep preaching it. I wonder what they were preaching. I don't know. But I wonder if it actually wasn't their preaching. And this is where I'm going with this. I wonder if the disciples, I wonder if their lives were so much better that when people looked at them, they said, whatever they got, I need it. I want that. I mean, today there's an absolute thirst, a hunger for community and connection. We're isolated through our phones. Actually, I was at a presentation this week from a man named Father Vince Lampert. He's an exorcist for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. He's fantastic. He told us some stories about exorcisms that he's been a part of, and it's real stuff, folks, we'll get into that. He said that decades ago, someone had kind of prophesied that the last kind of way the devil would ensnare us is to make us believe that a virtual world is actually better than the world that God made around us. And I thought, yikes, right? And then he held up his phone, his iPhone, he held up his phone and said, why is it that one of the largest corporations on earth, one of the companies that makes the most money and gets the most of our attention, how many times you look at your phone in a day, right? Uses as their symbol an apple with a single bite taken out of it. I threw my phone away. No, I didn't know it. he's got an iPhone, so I thought, well, if you've been using a Samsung or something, I'd be like, I got to switch, you know? He said, the same thing was offered to Adam and Eve, right? Come on, it'll make your life better. You'll know all things. Your eyes will be opened. You'll be like your own God, full control, change your appearance, Google everything, you know? I think today, phones can be good. I'll say that too. Technology can be fine. I think today that we've been sucked so much into our own worlds that one of the things we need to preach is community. Come be a part of Corpus Christi Parish. Come be a part of our Bible study. Come be a part of our big choir. We'll get more seats. We can fit them. Come be a part of whatever we have that's ours as Christians, because people need to be pulled out of their narrow, focused world and to be brought into union again, a union of peace and joy and light and connection, real connection, deep connection, fruitful connection. I don't know what they were preaching 2,000 years ago, and I don't know what it would take to make any one of our small actions look Christian in love. But one thing I think we can definitely do is simply invite people to be a part of whatever it is that we have and that we love. And if they come and they see, maybe their eyes will indeed be opened. Maybe their hearts will be full of love, and maybe, like the early apostles, we'll be adding many more to our own number today too in the church.